It is time for another edition of Black Bear Classics, brought to you by our friends Mike Toole and Company at ClearPoint Capital, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears. Give Mike a call at 307-7718. We welcome in my broadcast partner, Bob Lucy. Hello there, Bob.
Hi, Rich. How are you doing today?
I'm just great. Good to have you with us, as always, for another Black Bear Classic. And for this one, we really go back into the Wayback Machine, our first year doing the Maine games on the radio together.
Yeah, 1997. We're going to take a look at an historic game, one for the ages, where Maine beat UConn 49-47 in three overtimes. And by the way, it was an undefeated UConn team that was ranked 23rd in the country at the time.
All right. Coached as well by Skip Holtz for the Maine Black Bears. Jack Cosgrove was the head coach and the starting quarterback for that team. Is now the pass game coordinator and wide receivers coach at Harvard University. And we're so happy to have Mickey Fine on with us this afternoon. Hello, Mickey.
Hi, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to hear your voice again.
Good to be heard. Good to hear yours.
Well, let's go back 23 years, which, by the way, how did that happen so fast? And talk about going into that game. The Black Bears, you'd gotten off to a good start winning your first two games of the year, but had lost three in a row before that UConn game.
Yeah. It lost, a couple probably we didn't think we should have. I think we played Richmond the week before, and I think they blocked a punt, like, right at the end of the game, and ended up scoring at, in the last second. So, and then, didn't start off that game the way we wanted to, that's for sure.
And, Bob, we had forgotten all about this, but our friend Joe Roberts reminded us a few weeks ago that there wasn't a huge crowd at the stadium at that time because the stadium was still under construction.
Yeah, there was renovation going on to the stadium that would be complete eventually in 1998. So there was a reduced number of bleachers, and the attendance that day was only 3,959 fans, but they got their money's worth.
Mickey, can you talk about some of the guys who made up that Black Bears offensive unit with you that year?
Yeah, well, it definitely starts with the guys outside that made my job pretty easy. Drew O'Connor, John Tennant, Ramik Wright, were three guys that were, just great players on the outside. And, Steve Gangi was the tight end. And I lived with four of the offensive linemen, Pat Sheehan, Doug Henderson, Luke Port. I didn't live with Luke, but Luke was the center. And then Giff Salisbury was another one of the guys up front. So, the thing about that game too was there was some other guys that didn't contribute a ton up until maybe the second half, with some of those guys like Wes Pettaway jumped in there and did a couple good things, and obviously Dwayne Wilmot, who was a sophomore I believe at the time, caught the 2-point conversion at the end. So a full team effort, that was for sure.
We always like to go back and revisit some of the highlights when we do these Black Bear Classics, and we were worried that this one was lost to the ages, but huge thanks to our friend Ron Lisnett and Justin Barnes, who were able to track down an old digital audio tape that had some of the end of regulation and the fourth quarter. Otherwise, well, Bob, we'd be relying on our memories, and let's be honest, they're not as good as they used to be.
And no, they're not. We don't recall too much that happened 23 years ago at this stage, but great to have the tape and exciting to relive the memory.
Well, let's listen to some of it. Late in the game with the Black Bears trailing by 10 points, let's listen to a big play right here from Mickey Fine teaming up with Dwayne Wilmot.
Third try from inside the five for the Black Bears. Fine firing over the middle. Touchdown! Dwayne Wilmot was there. Fire that cannon, boys. The Black Bears are coming back. Nice slant pattern that time. Mickey laid it right in there. Nice catch. Black Bears have got a good shot here. They're going to have to play some defense and make a decision on the onside kick here.
Mickey, that brought you guys back within 3 points. And Dwayne, as you mentioned, just one of those guys that, especially as that season went on, became a really dependable receiver for you.
Yeah, and, grew up that year. Obviously was a very talented player and, just was coming into his own. And then obviously as his career continued, you got to see the talent that he had. But, you know, that was kind of a breakout game for him.
The Black Bears would get the ball back late in the game and mount a terrific drive. Let's listen to another big pass play from Mickey Fine to one of those guys from Millinocket who came south to play for the Black Bears.
Trailing UConn by three, Fine. Looking left side under the big rush now. Firing deep for O'Connor on the right side. And he hauls it in. A one-handed Otis Taylor catch in UConn territory at the 43. What an unbelievable play by O'Connor.
Well, and Bob, I can still see that catch as vividly today as I could 23 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely, Rich. Big play after big play. When you look at that game and think of what Maine did in the second half, they rolled up 452 yards in the second half, and UConn had no answer for Mickey in the second half. They tried to blitz them. They played eight defensive backs. They tried to change coverages and blitz packages. Nothing worked. Mickey was on fire, making bullseye throws into tight windows.
Mickey, you had a big completion to Ramique Wright that got you a little closer to scoring position, but ultimately Todd Jagutz had to come on and hit a field goal to tie things up for the Bears.
Chip shot field goal to tie it, but we take nothing for granted. John Tennant is the holder. Snap is down. Kick is up. It's good. We're tied at 34 with 18 seconds left. Wow. Maine started at their 4 with a minute 27 and a brilliant drive engineered by Mickey Fine gets them in position where Jagutz kicks the tying field goal.
Mickey, what was the thought there? You got into overtime. What were you thinking looking ahead to the OT periods?
Yeah, well, you know, you guys kind of hit it on the head there. We felt pretty good, you know, in the second half that they weren't going to stop us. You know, just kept on being able to get the ball in the air and throw it. And, you know, and then when they got, you know, kind of out of the box a little bit, we were able to run it. You know, and I think the first overtime, I mean, obviously, I don't know if this is coming or not, but I think we lined up to kick a field goal and it got kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think it was a 27-yarder that was blocked, and so nobody scored in the first overtime. But in the second overtime, the Black Bears would take the lead on a big run by a freshman.
Fine. Quick handoff. Matt Griffin. Touchdown. The Bears take the lead. Right up the gut, north and south, into the zone.
Yeah, Matt Griffin. What a way to make an impact as a freshman, Mick.
Yeah, so that, I actually checked to that play. I vividly remember that because I came to the sideline and everybody was like, what did you call? I got up underneath center and there was legitimately, I think, one linebacker in the box, you know, because Matt obviously didn't carry the ball. I don't even know if he had before then. And he almost ran me over when I tried to hand the ball off. I think he was just so excited to get into the end zone. But obviously a big play by a young guy.
Now, the Black Bears would get the extra point attempt block, and it was looking scary, but there was a flag. A penalty on UConn gave Todd a second try. He made it to make it 41-34. UConn would come back and score and send it to a third overtime. We're looking back at Maine-UConn, 1997. In the third overtime, it would be the Black Bears getting on the board again, and this time teaming up with John Tennant. And people may not remember that John had been the starting quarterback for this team and made that transition to wide receiver. And that doesn't always work, but boy, Mickey, he became a terrific receiver for you guys in that 97 season.
Oh, yeah, he was unbelievable. The kind of athlete that John is. I mean, you know, he was just a guy that could really, really run and do a ton of things and, you know, became, you know, a big-time target and a big-time player on the outside for sure.
Well, here's the touchdown that made it 47-47. This was after UConn had scored and missed on a two-point conversion attempt because of a deflection by Derek Carter. Here's the Black Bears' touchdown.
Fine at the line. Looks right side. Got a man. John Tennant. Touchdown. Maine is tied it up. Mickey Fine with another beautiful pass, hitting John Tennant on a flag pattern, the right side of the end zone.
Bob, what were Mickey's numbers for that day? Because they were just incredible.
Yeah, they were incredible. Mickey was 38 of 62 for 522 yards, which is still a school record, and five touchdowns. And, you know, when I reflect back on watching Mickey play, and he was the starting quarterback for four seasons, a team MVP in 1997 and 1998, team captain in 1998. When he graduated in 1999, he held 17 school records and still holds some of those today, including touchdown passes in a game against Villanova in 1998. He had six. But Mickey had a strong arm, and he was very accurate as a passer, but he was confident. He didn't get rattled in the pocket, and he had great chemistry, as he talked about, with the wide receivers. And Drew O'Connor, John Tennant, and Ramique Wright, in that game alone, combined for 30 receptions for 450 yards and four TDs. It's just beyond belief. And, you know, Mickey was a competitor. They were all competitors. John Tennant, Ramique Wright, that whole group. And, you know, you could tell they believed in themselves. And there was kind of that unwavering will to win. And those qualities were on full display on October 11th, 1997. Just a phenomenal effort.
Now, Bob, in the interest of transparency, honesty here, remembering that 97 game, you and I were a bit confused. First, that UConn had gone for a two-point conversion, and then that Maine, in a 47-47 game in the third overtime, would line up to go for two, because we weren't aware that before the season the rule had been changed that teams had to go for two once they hit the third overtime.
No, we weren't aware, and it was kind of head-scratching. We were wondering if that was going to come back to haunt somebody, but in the end, it was part of the new rule change, and, you know, I think it made for a lot of excitement moving forward.
So, Mickey, what was the plan on that two-point conversion?
Yeah, the two-point conversion was just kind of, you know, see what the matchup was, and Dwayne had a guy that we were looking to pick on, and, you know, I mean, I think he had over a 40-inch vertical. You know, and they were definitely leaning towards Drew a little bit, you know, on that side. You know, so just gave him a shot, and he went up and got it, you know, and, you know, obviously got the win. I mean, you guys talked about John Tennant, too, on the play before that when we scored a touchdown. UConn had actually, I remember this because we were looking at it, and nobody actually covered, and they tried to come over late, and John actually beat the guy and got in there, so.
Well, let's give a listen to that two-point conversion that ended up being the game-winning play.
Maine lining up and going for the two. Fine. Lobs for Wilmot. He's got it. Maine wins. Maine wins in three overtimes. Dwayne Wilmot hauls it down, and the Bears have knocked off unbeaten UConn in three, count them, three overtimes. They're going wild.
And now, Mickey, we had forgotten there was a little bit of controversy, and look, I don't think they can take the win away now, but did Dwayne push off on that two-pointer?
But, I mean, what's a push-off? You're fighting for the ball right now. That's what you do when you're down in the end zone. But, you know, I didn't see any flag, and, you know, he made a great play, and we won the game, so. We're going to take it and live with it right there.
Absolutely. And it was an amazing game. And the reaction afterwards, it was like winning a playoff game.
Yeah, after, you know, having a couple tough breaks going into that game, and then just the way the ups and downs and, you know, getting a field goal block that you think you're going to win. I think right at the right before we kicked the field goal in regulation, we thought Ramique had caught a touchdown that they called out of bounds.
That's right.
You know, so and then we got one blocked. Then, you know, we're able to kick it again, you know, as far as the extra points. So, you know, it was just, there was a lot of emotion there. And obviously we left it all out there when we finally got the win.
Well, and after those tough losses, and you mentioned the Richmond game, and I have a strong recollection that it was after that Richmond game on the flight home after losing a heartbreaking game, that once we were up in the air, Jack Cosgrove got up out of his seat and spent most of that flight going around the plane, and you knew it was killing him inside, three straight losses and a couple of them in bizarre fashion. But he went around that plane just making sure that everybody was in good spirits and knew that they'd given it their all, and I'm just so impressed at the way he handled that crushing defeat.
Yeah, he always did a great job and, you know, was a calm, cool customer through the three overtimes. You know, obviously got us in the right spots to win the game.
So, Mickey, as you look back on your time at Maine, what do you remember best about it, and what did being a Black Bear do for you in your life?
Yeah, looking back on it, you know, I just loved every minute of it, going up there. And obviously, you know, when you get recruited by a bunch of different places and everybody goes, you know, why the University of Maine? You know, the number one thing is the people that are up there. That's the one thing that I'll, you know, remember above everything else. It's just a special group of people that can call themselves Black Bears and that work at the university. And, you know, it's a special place. And, you know, I got to start there for 4 years and, you know, got around a great group of guys and, you know, guys that we talk all the time, still play golf with a bunch of them and still get together as much as we can. And we talk about the good old days, which now keep on getting further and further away. As you said, 23 years. That's an unbelievable thing. I just remember talking to you guys when I was still in school, you know. So, but, you know, just a great place and a great group of people. And, you know, I still get up there as much as I can. My mother-in-law lives in Aroostook County and, you know, spent some of the, you know, COVID life up there this summer. So, you know, just always stop by and check out the stadium and a couple other things because it's always going to have a special place in my heart.
Well, so many great games for you and so many memories from your time there. We were, the three of us and Bobby Wilder, reminiscing online recently about that great win, I think, in 98 down at Delaware.
Yeah. And I think one of you guys tweeted out about the I think we started in Philadelphia, went to Newark and Jersey, and I think we got back at 4 a.m. after beating the game in the country. And, you know, I just remember waiting on all those things, but that was another great win. And, you know, like I said, just great memories of a place up there. And, you know, it, like I said, I'll always enjoy talking UMaine football and just the guys that were around there. I mean, you guys talk about John Tennant and Drew O'Connor and Ramique White, Dwayne Wilmot, those guys made my job easy.
And now you're down there, and by the Maine guys always find each other. You're at Harvard working with old friend Tim Murphy down there as well.
Yeah, we definitely still talk some more Orono stories, that's for sure. We weren't obviously together at the University of Maine, but, you know, it's still, you know, a great place that we always have some fun talking about. And, you know, he was, you know, with Mike Buck and Bobby Wilder, you know, coaching there. You know, so we always have quarterback talks back and forth and comparing guys. And sometimes the staff looks at us like, who are you guys talking about? You know, like, what's going on? Because we get into the UMaine world. But, you know, coach is a great guy to work for. Just going to my fourth season here and learned a lot of great things. You know, obviously, you know, why he's been so successful, you know, is a great thing to kind of get around him, and you see, you know, his little magic things that he does around the guys and around the program.
Well, Mickey, it's great to talk with you. Been terrific to catch up with you this afternoon and help us remember this wonderful game from 1997. And hope you and your family stay well and safe and have great holidays. And we'll catch up with you again down the road, I hope.
I appreciate it. And thanks for everything. And you too. Stay safe.
Mickey Fine with us here on Black Bear Classics this afternoon. And, Bob, what a whole lot of fun looking back. And you know, we talk about, we'll often on the road talk about the guys we've enjoyed watching through the years. And Mickey Fine pretty high on that list for guys that we just respected so much for the way he approached the game.
Absolutely, Rich. You know, a humble guy, as he looks back now 23 years ago, but what a great competitor, like I said. And, you know, people can lose sight of the fact that Maine was trailing 20-3 at half and dug themselves out of that hole and scored 10 points in the final 5 minutes of that game to even get it into overtime. And again, you got to credit Jack Cosgrove because according to press reports at halftime, he said, we got to throw the ball and we got to go almost exclusively to the air. Maine only had 56 yards rushing in that game, Rich. So most of it, as we said, came through the air, and it was big plays, and that receiving core was about as good a group as we've ever seen at Maine collectively. Good size, great athletes, and with Mickey back there in the pocket, he could make things happen in a hurry.
So that was our fifth game broadcasting together, which is just unbelievable to me. How many now are we up to?
You know, I don't have my chart in front of me, but we're pushing that 265, 270 range, I think.
Wow. Well, it was fun to hear those calls from back in the day, and we don't sound a whole lot different than we did back then.
Well, you sounded great. Yeah, no, you haven't lost a step. And, you know, I would give a little bit of a shout-out, too, to the defense in that game, too, because they really buckled down in the second half. And one of the top guys for Maine back then was Derek Carter. You remember Derek. He was a free safety. He led Maine in tackles for three straight years, including that 1997 season. Guys like Brent Nakara, JoJo Oliphant, Latif O'Connor, Garrett Gillick, Sean Taylor, Brian Hawks, a whole bunch of them. And they really, you know, did a wonderful job buckling down in that second half and making plays, because Connecticut had a high-powered offense as well that year with a quarterback, Shane Stafford.
Yeah, and it was Derek Carter that deflected the two-point conversion in the third overtime that gave Maine the chance to win.
Yeah, he was a big play guy, Rich, and when you lead Maine in tackles for 3 years, that's saying something. And he wound up with 21 career interceptions, 301 career tackles, and just a phenomenal career.
Well, a lot of fun looking back. 23 years, Maine, UConn, from October 11th, 1997, this week's Black Bear Classics. Bob, fun as always, and look forward to seeing where we'll go next week on the segment.
Well, me too. We'll have to figure that one out. But it was a lot of fun talking football today with Mickey Fine and you, and look forward to next week.
We'll catch you then. Thanks, Bob.
All right.
Black Bear Classics on Downtown every Friday, and they're brought to you by ClearPoint Capital, the official financial advisor of the Maine Black Bears. Call Mike Toole at 307-7718.